Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back, 12 after the hour. Thank you for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Dr. Tim Elmore is here. Tim Elmore is a member of our Brain Trust. He is also the founder and the president of Growing Leaders. He and his team have been developing next-generation leadership programs and instruction and helping folks become better at what they do for a long time. He's the author of a new book called Habitudes. That's a combination of habits and attitudes, images that form leadership habits and attitudes. Dr. Tim Elmore, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be with you.
Always a pleasure to have you back, Tim. Talk to us about why you felt you needed to merge those two words.
Well, you know, you and I have talked before, Jim, about how there's a gap between adults and kids. We called it a generation gap back in our day in the 1960s, but
define kids.
Well,
18,
you know,
20, 25, what are you talking?
Well, childhood used to end at 18 back in my day, and I'm a baby boomer.
Right.
But today, social scientists are telling us that adolescence is expanding on both ends. Mm-hmm. Kids are wanting to enter into adolescence at 8 years old, you know, getting on websites, reading teen magazines, getting something tattooed on their body. And then they're staying in adolescence well into their 20s.
We're seeing that as the younger generation, the Gen Ys, are taking longer to sort of, and I don't mean this in any way other than just to say it, to sort of take their place, meaning buy a house, get married, have kids. That's happening later for them, isn't it?
Absolutely. In fact, really the best way to summarize it is they're staying consumers instead of contributors well into their 20s when we need them to contribute. They've got creativity, but they're just staying in a receiving mode rather than a giving mode.
Yeah, and that's affecting the economy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're one of the highest demographics that's still unemployed, but oftentimes they're not employed because they don't have to be. They've moved back home after college. When I wrote the book, Generation IY, Jim, 60% of college students moved back home when they were done with college. Last year, this past year, the survey, 80% plan to move back home when they're done with college.
Wow. That's something. Well, and one of my demographics experts was on last week, and he was pointing out, though, that over the next 5 years or so, as they do take their place, as that generation does take its place, he thinks the economy could explode based on that change, that shift. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah. So what about how do we connect that group of folks with the rest of the world in a way that's good for everybody?
Well, one of the things you and I have talked about, even just a few minutes ago before we went on, was how this is a two-way street. I'm doing more and more events for businesses. In fact, I was just with the Atlanta Braves a couple of weeks ago talking about generational diversity and how the older generations, Gen X and the baby boomers, need to lean in and help these young people on board in the company. Right. But on the other hand, these young people need to say, I need to learn this workaday world that has been functioning for centuries. And so I think mutual mentoring...
And not act like a baby boomer is a fossil.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. I think both generations have something to add, and what we need to do is perhaps swallow our pride and say, all right, what can I receive from you? And then here's something you can receive from me, and maybe there'll be some mutual benefit.
Well, you know, when you and I were coming up, when we worked for our elders, so to speak, we respected them either at least their position, if not the person, and we probably respected the person, and they got that. We gave that to them automatic right off the bat. That's not the way it feels these days when we're dealing with the younger generation, and I think that hurts. I think that's hurting some of the baby boomers' feelings. What do you think?
No, I think you're right. But if we stop and think and diagnose what's happened, here's what I think's happened. This is the first generation of kids that, as they move into adulthood, they don't need leaders to get information.
That's right.
Information is ubiquitous. It's everywhere.
That's right.
So there's less of a need for my boss, or or at least I think there is. They have been told they're special and awesome, and they get a trophy and a ribbon just for playing. So there's been a sense of high confidence as they move in, and perhaps not as much I don't feel as much of a need, I think, for you. The average teen spends less than 30% of their day with any adult. It's with peers on Facebook or with Josh down the street.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we've created these silos that we now perhaps need to tear down, and they
are having difficulty with things like making a phone call and face-to-face interaction with adults, right?
Yeah. Yeah, some of the fundamentals that we just naturally got, and we were forced to.
Right.
It's not necessary, and because it's not necessary, that social muscle or that emotional muscle has atrophied.
So how do we get across to them that, yes, you're smart, yes, you have a lot of information, yes, you're productive, yes, you're going to be a very I want you in my company, but just because you have knowledge doesn't mean you have perspective, doesn't mean you have wisdom, doesn't mean you know fundamentals, which haven't changed for 2,000 years. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I have a brand new book coming out in June that I'm very excited about. I think it explains exactly what you just said. Kids today are overexposed to information far earlier than they're ready, underexposed to real-life experience far later than they're ready.
Right.
And this overexposure, underexposure is creating this kind of this cocky, confident attitude, some of which is good, but it's hollow insight. It's knowledge without context, just like you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what we've got to do is we've got to maybe change our thinking to get them on board. First of all, I think we need to think connect, not control, meaning even though we have control as the boss, leveraging that control in a harsh way probably will repel them.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can think connect, how can we build a bridge? How can we sit down and listen and understand and perhaps earn our right to say some of the hard things? I think bosses or employers may need to, in many ways, reparent a little bit.
There's no thinking about that, Tim.
Yeah,
that's happening right now.
Right.
Bosses, managers are helping to raise the younger generation, no question about it. I see it.
Yeah.
I'm hearing it all the time across the marketplace.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I recently talked to an employer in Atlanta that said a mother joined her son for a job interview. He's 22 years old, recently graduated, and he's thinking, I don't know what to do with this.
Wow.
So immediately he realized, Mama is at the helm, and I need to now kind of redirect his thinking.
I need another employer, one without a one whose mom stays home or has a job. Tim Elmore is our guest, folks. Habitudes is the new book. Quick break, 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.